I will try to talk about new technology, but need to rely on the old one to make it a bit more illustrative. So it is a great pleasure to be here, and that I have the opportunity to talk to you on behalf of Daimler Chrysler, but also from my emotions mainly on behalf of the fuel cell electric vehicle community around the world. The title of my contribution to this evening is The Possible Impact of Fuel Cell Electric Vehicles on Future Energy Demand. So focusing a broad range of aspects a little bit on what is very much in our interest, fuel cell electric vehicles. I do apologize to the colleagues of today's workshop for repeating some of the things I mentioned already this afternoon. And I do apologize, or also probably need to warn you, this will probably be a biased pet speech on fuel cell electric vehicles, but if so, it might be an opener for the discussion later this evening. Let me structure my remarks in three chapters. First, I want to focus on two major trends that we do have in the automotive industry and that do affect today's issue, that do affect energy demand. And second, I would introduce the fuel cell electric vehicle as a, as we see it, promising answer to above mentioned trends or challenges. And then to finalize an outlook on what we think needs to be done on behalf of the automotive manufacturers and also us, scientific community, fuel providers, and also the government. Trend number one, and we already mentioned it, is the pressure on car manufacturers to increase fuel efficiency and at the same time decrease emissions. The driving forces behind this, in terms of what really gives us pressure, well, we had it this summer, today's energy prices. This combination of oil prices plus taxation, in what combination soever, it does hurt. And I think in the public outcry or discussion was also involved a notion of the fact that fossil fuels are limited. But, to be honest, if it were only for the limitation of fossil fuels, at what time soever, we would probably not be putting that much effort in fuel cell vehicles. There are other drivers. They do have to do with emissions. Driver number two, beside prices, is legislation, in addition to tax. We do see legislation in Europe on emissions, Euro 2, Euro 3, Euro 4, very technical papers on the emissions that the European community does allow all vehicles to have. Tough targets, but we will meet them because we don't have any other choice. But they do drive emission. In California, we will pretty soon see a legislation that forces car manufacturers to sell a certain percentage of their fleet as zero emission vehicles. There were a few doubts whether or not this will come. There was, I believe, a major hearing this summer, and now we can bet this California legislation will come. There will probably be a few other states, the East Coast, that will follow, and we do have patterns that will show us that this kind of legislation starting in California will also be seen in the rest of the United States someday. And we have, as far as I do believe, the most important pressure on us, which is the self-commitment of the European car manufacturers, ACEA, to reduce the CO2 emission and thereby pure consumption of the fleet that is being sold in Europe by around, I think, 25%. The target is that the European fleet will have a fuel consumption of 6 liters by 2008. And given today's figures of the car manufacturers, this is still a way to go. So to me, this is the toughest thing that we face. Now, given these driving forces, what do we have achieved except for fuel cells? We have seen and we have heard from you, sir, major improvements in the conventional technology. Exploding fossil fuels in internal combustion engines, making pistons go up and down like this. There are limits to it. The problem concerning these targets are that most of what we believe can be done, or a lot of it, has already been done or is already part of our products. Some of these measures do help, this is problem number two, to increase fuel efficiency, but do not help with emissions. I'm thinking about the right example. As far as I know, direct gasoline injection does lower fuel consumption, but does not help with emissions. And there are other examples. But sometimes it does not go with both of it. And these measures, especially the ones we need to take to reach EU4, stage number 4 in emission reduction, imposed by the European Union, makes engines extremely expensive. So we do see a trend with traditional technology that engines do become more expensive. Bad news for the company, for us people working on fuel cell and fighting with cost, it is good news because we might get competitive at one day. So what are we doing? We're working on the engine side. All car manufacturers. The second thing, and this is what you see very obviously, we try to have more small cars in the portfolio, not only Daimler Chrysler. Because one of the most efficient measures to reduce fuel emission is to increase fuel consumption is to reduce weight. We believe that 100 kilogram less weight might help us to gain about 0.2 to 0.3 liters in fuel consumption, depends on gasoline or diesel or whatsoever. But 100 kilograms is quite a lot. And it is very expensive. Yes, we do work on other materials. Yes, we cooperate with people who know more about plastics, but it's still very expensive. More efficient engines in more smaller cars are very important, but they are not sufficient to reach the targets. We will see, because of this fact, in the next years also a renaissance of battery vehicles and hybrids, a combination of internal combustion engines and batteries. Battery-based zero-emission vehicles do have the problem, as we said this afternoon, of the battery. It does not provide sufficient range because batteries are very heavy. And if you put this battery if you combine this battery with an internal combustion engine, thus making a hybrid, we do have two engine technologies. Does not lower weight. Both can be put on the road rather easy because we know the technology. We will see them because we need fast solutions. They will not be around for a very long time. We had interesting discussion on it. This was not everybody's opinion. Because the question is sure, if we would get better batteries, we might see battery electric vehicles for a longer time on the road. I personally do doubt this. So, as the first conclusion to this first trend, we do have a problem to reach these targets. Let's go to mega trend number two. Less of a problem, more of a challenge to meet customer specifications. It's about the growing electrification of cars. No, in cars. 40 years ago, we were lucky to have a screen wiper, a radio, and an electric stall in the car. 20 years ago, in nice cars, we saw the first air conditioning. We saw electrical windows going up and down and sunroofs doing like this, and we thought it was great. All these were driven by small electrical engines, sure. Today we have navigation systems for more comfort in the car. We have lots of engine controls in the engine, many electrical devices around an internal combustion engine. We have exhaust management. We have, for more safety, what we call at Mercedes Distronic, electronically controlled distance. We have electronic stability programs and advanced body control to keep the cars on the road. They all need electricity. Tomorrow we have infotainment. You will have TV screens wherever you sit, hopefully except for the driver. You will have steer-by-wire, you will have brake-by-wire. All these little helpers to increase weight, and they need electricity. And as long as this electricity is provided by the internal combustion engine, it does add to the fuel consumption, which of course we are forced to lower. Now I end chapter one with the following statement. Fuel cell electric vehicles can be an answer to these both two challenges. Lower the consumption of fossil fuels by also lowering emissions, and at the same time provide sufficient electricity on board for whatever you want. End of chapter one. Chapter two is the introduction of fuel cell electric vehicles. Now I believe there is no need to explain to this audience how a fuel cell works, and being an economist and not an engineer, I probably would not be able to give you detailed information. So just some very basic remarks. Fuel cell is around the technology for 100 years, coming from the United Kingdom. It is an electrochemical process that converts chemical energy into electricity. And now even more basically, so that I also understand it. In go oxygen and hydrogen, out goes water, heat, and electricity. And the electricity can then serve as a power for an electric engine. And you have an electric drivetrain based on a fuel cell, what we call a fuel cell electric vehicle. Not yet the vehicle, but the system. Based on hydrogen, you have storage, you have the fuel cell, the oxygen is coming from the air, and the electricity helps for the drivetrain. Basic question with fuel cells is around the fuel. On which fuel should fuel cell vehicles be based? And the two main alternatives are hydrogen and methanol. And I'm glad to hear that both of you already have mentioned and therefore introduced into this issue. If we have methanol instead of hydrogen, the situation becomes a bit more complex. The idea is to reform methanol on board into hydrogen. That means instead of the complicated issue of hydrogen storage, we have the more easy issue of methanol storage, but we have the more complicated issue of reforming this methanol on board. So the basic question is to us really, will it be hydrogen or will it be methanol? For what we know at Daimler Chrysler today, we say, well, maybe we should differentiate, taking a look at the pros and cons of these two basic fuels. What's good about hydrogen? It has a high efficiency, tank to wheel, no emissions coming out, no CO2. The problem is that all the technical solutions concerning the production of hydrogen, the handling, get it from where it is produced to where we need it, and of course of the storage of hydrogen on board, are not yet solved. And it is a bit complicated to get these cars tanked and to, well, operate them, because hydrogen has also a safety issue. So we believe hydrogen is the good solution for fleet applications, where we only have one fueling station, where we have professional drivers, and where we control this whole process. If from today's point of view we think about vehicles we want to give to private customers, to take them to a broad range and where you really do not know what is happening and how they are being treated, we believe that from today's point of view hydrogen might be too complicated. And this is why we say, if you want to see advantages with fuel cell vehicles within the next years, if you want to give them to private customers, we should not do this with hydrogen, but we should do this with methanol. Maybe for the beginning we focus on the first, on the upper half of it. Methanol is helping us where we have problems with hydrogen, we know, and we can easier handle production and storage. And I think the two gentlemen have given you enough information on what the methanol issue might be from a supply side point of view. Problem is, as mentioned, we need a reformer on board that adds to complexity, to weight and to cost. Get this thing running. And other than with hydrogen only on board, we also do have emissions coming from the reformer process. Emissions, CO2, are considerably less than with fossil fuels and internal combustion engines, but they are worse than with hydrogen. Now, side remark, if we do face a customer like Mercedes-Benz passenger cars or BMW or Peugeot, who are very much driven by CO2 emission and who need a lot of cars with zero CO2 emission, methanol might not be the royal solution. But we can get it going, and it does provide us an opportunity to possibly direct methanol fuel cell, which is a fuel cell that can be fed with methanol, does need no reforming. The bad news is this system is still a few years away. Both, and this is what we heard, methanol and hydrogen can be and will surely at one day be produced by the help of renewable energies. Not today. Target to go. Today the process of producing it still faces us with some challenges. But again, what are the benefits of fuel cell electric vehicles compared to the traditional technology? We do have advantages in the field of emissions, either zero or very low emissions, from tank to wheel. We do have a better fuel consumption because the efficiency of the fuel cell system is far better than the one of the traditional technology. Since we will have less moving parts in this drivetrain, as you see here, compared to the very sophisticated systems of internal combustion engines, we will have less problems with maintenance in day-to-day business. Also saves money of customers. And we will have an increase in comfort. Electric cars do have low noise of the drivetrain compared to explosion machines of internal combustion engines. And electric drivetrains do have a high torque, good power, starting right from the beginning. So the torque does not accelerate until you have a certain speed, but it's there right from the beginning. I can encourage you, whenever you have the opportunity, drive a car with even a battery electric vehicle. It really is fun. But watch out, people will not anticipate you, at least in the beginning, because they're used to the fact that cars do make noise. What we have achieved so far at Daimler Chrysler, in the last years, we built prototypes to give an answer to our management and also to the automotive community, an answer to the question, is this concept feasible? And yes, we believe that we proved it. We did present to the public 5 prototypes. 4 of them were passenger cars, what you can see here as NECAR 124, and one was a fuel cell bus, what we called Nebus in 97, and we were working on hydrogen systems and also on methanol systems. I like this picture because it shows the problems we often face. We did have a plan to present the NECAR 5, a methanol-based A-class, to the public late last year, and we will do this only late this year. So this is why I kept the plan. Sometimes, or often, it does take longer to bring new technologies on the road. But NECAR 5 is ready. It's a methanol car, it's an A-class, but it has seating capacity for 4 or 5 people. It has a good average speed, and it will be able to serve as a really day-to-day car to the public. But it took us a year longer. So sometimes often things take longer. Now, end of chapter 2, what is a fuel cell vehicle, and rather quickly, the outlook, what needs to be done. What we will do at Daimler Chrysler, starting next week, we will start a major fuel test in California, where we do have many partners in there, the California Fuel Cell Partnership, testing vehicles and the gasoline and the fuels in day-to-day business with all the major partners that are working on the fuel cell technology. We are working together with Beyond Petroleum, on a methanol study to really find out the advantages and the long-term sustainability of methanol as a fuel for electric vehicles. Starting in the end of 2002 and mainly in 2003, we will introduce the first fleet of fuel cell buses to major European cities. And I do hope we will see some also in London, where we will have these buses in a day-to-day use with customers, maintained, operated by the public authorities. And in 2004, we expect to be the first to market with passenger cars in a, yes, still limited volume, but we will give these cars to customers, we will charge them money, so we will have a certain obligation on quality and whatsoever, and we believe that this will be the first time that this thing happens, and therefore will constitute a first to market. And in the second half of the decade, we will see the generation of vehicles to come. We do need to develop a next generation of technology, of stacks and systems, and we will bring this into a hopefully growing number of vehicles, passenger cars, and commercial vehicles. This will also be the period around the next years when we need to clarify the fuel issue. Car manufacturers, plus the fuel providers, plus public administration. So what needs to be done besides what we are doing in cooperation with our partners? We need to work on the technology with our partners like Ballard's Tech Technology from Vancouver. We will increase our cooperation. We need and we want to increase our cooperation with fuel providers, started with a methanol study. And I think this afternoon's discussion showed it, we do need a larger cooperation between the industry and public authorities. And this is the end of my conclusion and my firm belief. The critical question is not whether fuel cell electric vehicles will come, but it's when will they come and how. Thank you.